Selamat pagi.
Magandang.
Welcome to the Lotus Talks. Let me introduce myself. I'm Granger Whitelaw, CEO of the Vietnam Group, and I host the Lotus Talks. The Lotus Talks is a show where we talk about the people and the companies that are making a difference in Vietnam and Southeast Asia, or doing good while doing well, as I like to say. It's the golden age here, and there are many exciting things happening. I hope to bring as much to you as possible. So get your coffee, sit back, and relax. And let's go!
Hi, it's Granger Whitelaw. Thanks for listening. It's been a few months since our last podcast. Many people have asked me why I stopped podcasting. Well, simply, with the lockdown here in Vietnam, the massive news coverage everywhere, couple that with a severe slowdown in business, and we're a business podcast, I just wanted to stop, listen, and wait and see. Well, there's been a lot going on over the last couple months. And now COVID is back in Vietnam. And I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it to refresh all our memories and talk about what we can do to move ahead. We don't want business to stop, but we don't want a disaster on our hands either. So we must tread carefully. Today, I have a special guest to help us understand this disease, where we are, and how we can move ahead. So turn your speakers up, grab a cup of coffee, and please join me today in Dr. Mason Cobb. Mason, thanks for joining me today on the Lotus Talks.
My pleasure. Good to hear your voice, Granger.
Yeah, it's great to hear your voice, and it's good to see you. I can see you on our little video camera. I'm using some new software, so hopefully it'll be enjoyable for the listeners and clear. It also transcribes automatically, so I'm interested to see how it works in a live interview.
Oh, that's powerful software.
Yeah, it's really cool. Let's hope it works. So Dr. Yeah. Mason Cobb is the chairman of Victoria Healthcare. He's also the chairman of the AmCham Healthcare Committee for what part of that are you?
Providers. That is hospitals, clinics, and individual doctors.
Okay. And you write a weekly update for AmCham as well on COVID, and you've been doing that for about 90 days now, right?
Yes, something like that, from the time of the lockdown at least.
Yeah. That's been very helpful, being a member of AmCham myself. It's been very helpful to me and many others, so thank you for doing that.
Oh, I'm glad someone is looking at it.
Don't be humble. We all read it. No.
Well, we try to catch up on the latest developments, and I must say that this week we were changing something about every 5 minutes.
Yeah, I bet. We'll get to that. And Dr. Cobb, you've been a resident of Vietnam for over 25 years now?
23 years.
23 years, yeah. Wow. Well, what a great country. What amazing things you've seen happen. And now, craziness here, right?
Yeah, it's craziness, but it's controlled craziness in ways that maybe 23 years ago would have been difficult.
Right. Well, the government's done a great job. You must all say that.
Yes, that's for sure.
So I have a couple of things I want to talk about with you. First, where we were and where we are now. It's interesting. I was reading an article today, Mason, which was written on January 22nd in the Vietnam Insider. And it was talking about this mysterious virus that's caused an international outbreak. Last week, two Chinese visitors from Wuhan City were put in isolation. And this outbreak of coronavirus in China has killed 9 people and sickened 300. It has spread to 5 countries. Now, listen, that spread to 5 countries. That was January 22nd that was reported. Mm. Now, they were talking about what is coronavirus back then, and they were talking about the spikes that protrude from the membranes, and it looks like the sun's corona, right? And how do you get infected? Well, you can get infected through animals, in close contact with animals. And how do I know I'm sick? Well, you know you're sick because you have a high fever, difficulty breathing. Milder cases resemble the flu. So I'm just telling you exactly what the article said January 22nd, right? If you read through this article and look at the source of the outbreak being, you know, live animal was probably where it came from. And they're saying, listen, don't go near live animals, the places that you buy them, the animal markets. Wash your hands and don't go around anyone that coughs or sneezes. And that was pretty much the recommendation back then. So that's where we were. January 22nd, coronavirus came. We knew it in Vietnam. Vietnam, the prime minister immediately put out a directive to stop the airports from bringing foreign nationals or non-foreign nationals. And we went on this immediate defensive, and they used the old SARS protocol for that, which I understand. And literally, after our lockdown in March, it pretty much stopped here.
Yes. There's no question that the government reacted very forcefully, very proactively, and very effectively. However, the other thing is that they had, I think by one survey, 89% of the people backing exactly what they were doing. People accepted the lockdown. They accepted the economic damage it was doing, the damage to personal lives, all in order to control the pandemic.
And that was in March.
March and I think part of April.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was tremendously effective. And I think after that, we just didn't see cases that were community-based. They all came in from the outside and were carefully controlled. I think we were living in a bubble. We thought that even though the rest of the world was on fire with this thing, that we were in a safe pocket. I think maybe we let our guard down a little bit. And I guess the question is, can we get our guard back up now that there's a threat again?
Sure. So where we were is we went through this initial kind of, I guess you call it a first wave, although it was very small. We only had 340 cases or something. And we had about 117 days in Saigon without a community spread, 100, I think exactly 100 before the new Da Nang spread. So since the disease resurfaced among the community last Saturday, Da Nang has recorded an additional 104 cases. It's now the pandemic's largest epicenter in Vietnam. Quang Nam has reported 26 cases. Ho Chi Minh, 8. Hanoi and Quang Nai, 2 each. Thai Binh, Dak Lak, 1 each. And those are all linked to Da Nang. Right?
Yes.
So we're at 590 cases or thereabouts, 212 of them active. Over 94,000 people are in quarantine, and we have had three people pass away, unfortunately.
Five now.
Is it five?
That,
yes. Oh, the two ladies today.
There were two ladies in their 80s that passed.
Octogenarians, that's right.
Yeah.
Gosh, I remember a couple of days ago, and I saw that first headline that someone had passed away. I literally, my heart stopped. I felt horrible. Well, sad.
I felt the same way, and there was really a mix of emotions, I think. One was, in a way, a sadness for the public health officials who had tried so hard to prevent any kind of death. So bad for the people of Vietnam who had been so compliant to prevent deaths. And also an element of fear. It's like, okay, maybe we get sick, but now we have the distinct possibility in this country of dying from this pandemic.
Sure. Well, that goes back to what you said before. We're living in a little bit of a bubble, right? You know, people are dying all over the place. I've lost Bob Lazier, whose son Buddy and I raced IndyCar together, and Buddy and I won the Indy 500 in 1996. His father passed away about 2 months ago. He had a chest cold, kind of walking pneumonia in December in Vail. And I guess the general manager got, you know, COVID, and then Bob got it. And after a self-induced coma, et cetera, he came out, and then all of a sudden he just died. And, oh, that was so hard for me. Bob was like a father to me. And it's very real, you know, people are dying, and we haven't seen that in Vietnam. And that does give you that sense of, oh, maybe, you know, maybe it's our diet here. Maybe there's a gene in the Vietnamese, you know, all these different things you hear, right?
Yes.
But, you know, now there's reality. Five people have been lost to this disease in Vietnam, and it's tragic. Yes. And it's scary. It's real.
I think that's absolutely so. It's really bringing it home now. At the same time, just going around the streets and even the people that I know and observe, I don't think we've really taken this as seriously as we might. It's strange that in one sense, it's very immediate because of the deaths and not knowing what's going to happen after the outbreak in the central. And the other is we're still living a little bit of the bubble lifestyle that we had.
Well, you know me, and I think people kind of, I don't know what they say about me, but I have certainly been, if not the most, one of the most serious people about wearing masks, not going to these events inside. I have been very vocal about it. Obviously, yeah. I've stayed inside the majority of the time. I didn't take my mask off in public inside until an event about 3 weeks ago at a fashion show at the Reverie, and everyone was checked beforehand, and you know, it'd been 3 months, so I thought, okay, you know, clean people, clean room, you know, I'll risk it, you know, and I didn't feel comfortable about that, but it's scary, and I think people are much too lackadaisical about it and got too easy about it. As I always said to you, it takes one super spreader, one.
Yes, that's exactly so. And at this point, I guess the people around Ho Chi Minh City and even Hanoi can say, well, yeah, we've got some cases, but they all came from Da Nang and nothing's happening locally and the government's on top of this. I'm going to scratch my nose and go out to eat. So I think we do need to pay more attention to this.
Yeah, well, I'm back inside, so... Let's talk about this. Let's have a real conversation. So about this disease, okay? Mm-hmm. We thought it came from animals. We thought, wash your hands and stay away from people, right? We all of a sudden started seeing people dying. There's been lots of different things tried. Vaccines are in the market now, getting close to being in phase three or in phase three. What do we know about this disease now, Dr. Cobb? What do we know about it? And I see death rates going down, so there are some things that can treat it. Can you share that with the listeners?
Yes, I can't. My career goes back at least 40 years, and I can't remember a time when there's been such rapid progress in understanding something and learning to react to it. That's the good news. We know a lot more about this disease than we did, as you say, on January 22nd. However, what we're in is we're in a race to the wire with a tremendously sophisticated virus. If I were a virus, I'd want to be Corona. It's smart, it's quick, and we know that it's already mutated. In fact, all we people in Asia, as you say, we were patting ourselves on the back because we were so good, and then suddenly Italy explodes, Spain explodes, and then the United States and Brazil explode. But one of the factors in that, other than problems of compliance in those countries, is that the virus actually mutated somewhere between Hong Kong and Italy.
Yeah, the European strain, right?
The European strain. It's the so-called D614G. There was one amino acid in the RNA that changed. It made the spike protein much hardier and much better able to penetrate cells. Hmm. Some say that it's 20 times as infectious as the strain that we originally saw. The strain that we have now in this country, in the central, is the new strain. whether it came in through some type of illegal immigration, somebody on a plane from someplace that somehow has evaded quarantine, nobody knows. But we do know that the strain we have now is more infectious than the one we beat previously.
So it is the European strain?
It is. I'm not sure I would call it that, but yes, it's a strain that mutated somewhere along about the time that it got to Europe.
Wow. Well, that is scary. Now I am feeling really uneasy.
You should. On the other end, the good news is that we're much better. The doctors were totally in the dark. It was a new disease. People were sick in ways that they weren't sure how they were sick or precisely why they were sick. That's now better understood. We have modalities of treatment. Dexamethasone, we have some sophisticated biologics that fight the so-called cytokine storm that's been so deadly. Mm-hmm. And so the chance of survival is higher. Although the five deaths do point out that older people and those with pre-existing conditions are still very vulnerable. The good news is that we also have a vaccine in the works. This is likely to be effective and safe, but it's not clear how long it will be effective. Mm-hmm. And the big question is, how do we crank out somewhere between 5 and 8 billion doses?
Right.
This is,
and how do you get them to everybody?
And how do you get it to everybody?
Is that the Moderna you're talking about, or the Oxford one that you and I were talking about 2 months ago?
Oh, there's three or four that are kind of in a horse race. And on any given day, this one is ahead by a nose. This one is ahead by a head. And who gets
to the
finish line?
Vietnam is doing some testing of vaccine. I hear by the end of the Q4, by the end of this year, they want to find volunteers to test it here in Vietnam.
Yeah, it's interesting the way they would do the volunteers. That brings you into some medical ethical dilemmas. It's one thing the way the phase threes are being done in the West, and that's you go to places where there's a pandemic, where there's an actual active epidemic going on, and you vaccinate half the people that are in your study group and the mm-hmm. other half receive a placebo and you see if it's protective. The other way is that the first rule of ethical medicine is do no harm. In this case, you would be actively giving the virus to people, actively making them sick by your own hand, and then seeing if the vaccine protects them.
Wow.
That is, in the worst case, there would be some people in the control group who would just simply die because you gave them something that killed them. Right. That said, you do ethically get into the greater good for the greater number. That is, would deaths in your control group be far outweighed by the number of lives you could save by getting a vaccine to market much sooner?
Sure, sure. Yeah, it's a tough question. Tough question what to do. So medically, we have some medicine that seems to be helping if you do get sick.
Yes. And
that's a good thing, which brings us to kind of our new normal, right? We're in this new normal now, whatever that is. But it seems to be, wearing masks, being very cautious, isolating if you can. Certainly anybody at high risk or elderly, stay at home, don't go out. Now people are getting very casual about going to restaurants and so on and mm-hmm. so forth. But, as of now, they've closed the bars in Ho Chi Minh and non-essential. I think that's going to happen tomorrow or later today. That will happen, certainly this week, that there's going to be mm-hmm. more tightening. And I think that's really important because it worked before. But we don't want to stop business, certainly. So what can individuals do to prevent the spread, Mason?
There are several things, and they're well known. Wear a mask at all times that you're out, especially if you're indoors at a restaurant, a business, whatever. Mm-hmm. The other is try not to touch your face. I think that's very hard. Your nose itches, you need to do something with your lipstick, your eyebrow itches, whatever it is. But you should try to keep your hands away from your face.
So wash your hands, wear a mask, carry sanitizer. Don't touch your face. Certainly, and I always say this to people, don't go inside. Why would you ever go inside anywhere that has circulating air? If you have to go out, stay outside. Be somewhere where there's open doors and you have fresh air circulating, because you do not want to be in a place where air is circulating. This is an aerosol. It's an airborne disease.
Absolutely right. The other part of that is that we understand it better now. That's one of those things that we've learned along the way. And indoors is a total crapshoot. Maybe this restaurant cleans its vents, has excellent air con, good fans, and the next place you go is basically blowing out virus itself.
Right.
From its,
it lasts, what, 3 hours, they say, in the air now, inside?
Something like that. But there again, it depends on humidity. It depends on the force of air that's behind it. There's a lot of variables. But
and
the
we just
point
don't know,
is,
really.
If you're inside and the ventilation is not absolutely top-notch, you're at more risk than you are if you're outside.
Yeah. Well, it's not even ventilation. You need HEPA filters or UV. It circulates through that kills the bacteria. And in Vietnam, you just don't have that. So. Even in the airplanes, they say that, you know, oh, yeah, the HEPA filters. Well, no, not really. I mean, if you really know, you know, if they're operational and if they're clean and if they have them, sure, it gives you a smaller percentage. But they circulate every 3 or 5 minutes if they work. And that's a closed space. All right. Well, so what can businesses do to help their employees?
Let me go through a couple more of the precautions.
Oh, sure, of course.
One is the social distancing. And I was reading about a place in California that has 20 times the number of cows as people. And they say you should have the distance of one cow between you and other humans. And I guess we would call that 2 meters here if it doesn't get lost in the translation.
I guess so in India, you're okay.
One cow's difference between... Yeah, it works in India, too. So anyway, keep one cow's distance between you and the stranger that you're walking near. And the other, and this is something that I don't think people are doing completely, and that's if you feel ill at all, stay home. Even if you get up after a good night's sleep, but you're unusually tired and exhausted, stay home. You have a runny nose, stay home. A new cough, stay home. For heaven's sake, if you have a fever, definitely stay home. Mm-hmm. The hallmark symptom, as it turns out also, is loss of taste and smell. And if you get up for that morning cup of coffee and you can't smell it, stay home. And while you're staying home, although you may not want to do it, let the government know. Let them know so they can test you and, if necessary, quarantine you. And I don't see very many people running around and putting their hand up in the air to volunteer for quarantine here, but it's the responsible and the safe thing to do. Might even protect your family.
Right. Well, there's, like I said, 94,000 people or more in quarantine right now, and all those are self-quarantine at home. So quarantine doesn't mean you're going to a government facility, but if you're at home and you're sick, they'll probably have you stay home and monitor you. And if you get worse, then they'll bring you into the hospital. So, definitely communicate with your doctor and then fill out your medical form with the Department of Health. So that brings me to the question, what can businesses do to help their employees, and what do you do at, right? If you're an employee and you want to make money and you want to contribute, but how do you be a good employee? How do you be a good brother and sister to your coworkers? This is a tough question, right? Because you don't want to shut the businesses down.
Right. It's a much tougher question than it seems. And again, there's a new normal. It used to be you go to work, you see somebody that you haven't seen over the weekend, you give them a big hug. Hey, how you doing? You don't have a mask on. Well, now that changes.
Yeah.
Don't hug them. At most, touch elbows or something.
No high fives.
No high fives.
No reach around. Yeah.
And wear your mask.
And think responsibly, right? Like, I think a lot of this is like, think responsibly. If you went out that weekend, you went to a bar and you weren't supposed to, because I was out last night to grab some food from the grocery store, down on food. And I drove down on the bike, so I didn't come into contact with anybody. I had my mask on, and I couldn't believe the bars I saw were open. Like, how are these bars open on a Saturday night? Well, there's a quarantine when the government just said close the bars, right? Like, I don't want to be a jerk or something here, but if you went to one of those bars and you could have been around somebody who wasn't denying, then don't go to work. Or tell your employer, you know, and be responsible, right? And make sure you wear your mask in the office. It may be uncomfortable, but I'm sure if you talk to your employer, they'll stagger you, right? They'll let you work from home for a couple of days. And a lot of offices, I know Fred at Baker McKenzie, they kind of have half staff, you know, 1 week, half staff the other week, or they're shifting around. Mm-hmm. And I know other companies are doing that too. So just point to him out because he's a good example of doing it the right way.
Right. You stay at home, have as many of your employees work from home as possible. In the workplace, you may need to figure out spacing so people are not sitting right next to each other.
Exactly.
A little more distancing. They need to be wearing their masks the whole time at work, and 8 straight hours or 10 straight hours in a mask is tough.
Yeah, so you got to give people breaks, right? Provide masks, provide hand sanitizer. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a business owner or an executive, most likely.
Yes.
So provide this, be proactive, and communicate with your employees, communicate with your staff. Tell them what's going on. Don't avoid this conversation. It's a hard conversation, but have it, right? And don't let them feel like if they stay home, they're going to be penalized, right? And, my grandma was not feeling great, and I know her brother was in Denang last week, but I still want to go to work because I don't want to get fired by my boss. Well, bosses, you want to lose your whole company, then, you know, let fear prevail. And the best way to alleviate fear is communication.
And just like that Japanese director of a company in the north, when he turned positive, the entire staff was quarantined.
Yeah.
So if you're not careful at your place, I'm sorry, as a doctor, my business is to scare the pants off you if I possibly can, but that's part of the way it is. If one person in your office comes down with COVID, possibly because you're not following these recommendations, they're going to shut you down.
Right.
And so it's good to be compliant.
Right. Then there's the F1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? So if you came in direct contact or confirmed infected, it's F0. A direct contact is an F1 for people who don't know. And if anyone needs this contact info at the Lotus Talks or Lotus Magazine, I'll certainly get it to you. F2 are people who contacted an F1. Mm-hmm. F3, people who contacted F2, F4 and 5, so on and so forth. So it goes down. But really, 0, 1, 2, and into F3, you've got to be really careful. And I would say stay home. Don't risk it. Why risk it? I'm sure that the employees or your boss will be okay with you staying home. Because right now, I think, you know, the faster we act, the faster we can get back to work and continue the opportunity that Vietnam has to be a leader in Southeast Asia and the world.
Yes, absolutely. And there again, it does take employers and employees being responsible. And again, this new strain that's here, it is extremely contagious.
Right.
In an epidemic, we talk about an R0. That means that if you have the disease, you can spread it to no people. And R1 means that on average, every person with it spreads it to one other person. In order for anything not to be an epidemic, it needs to be at least slightly less than R1 in order for the epidemic to burn itself out. Right now, this new strain is probably something like an R3, and that becomes exponential. That is, one person statistically will infect three. Those three will infect three, equaling nine. Those nine will infect a total of 81, and so on. This is a bad actor. So if you're an F1, F2, or F3, or you have symptoms, you're doing your country and your place of business a favor by staying home.
Wow, thanks, Mason. I want to say thanks, but it's terrifying me now. I had no idea that it was that contagious that was going on. But thank you for being transparent and open with us all.
Well, thank you for asking me to come aboard. I hope it's helpful, and I hope the information is useful for people so we can beat this second wave.
Yeah, let's beat it. We had a 1.89% growth rate so far this year. I think that we can have a positive growth rate in 2020 if everyone cooperates with the government and thinks about your brother, your neighbor, your sister, not just yourself. Stay home. Shelter in place if you can. Communicate with your employers. Wear your mask. Do what Mason says. Do what Mason says. And be conscientious. Everybody, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. This is real. And we are in the very beginning of something that can be terrible for Vietnam and for all of us. Or this that we can all collectively beat together. We got to come together and beat it.
That's absolutely right. Let's come together and beat this thing.
All right. Thanks, Mason. I appreciate your time, and I hope you have a beautiful day. And I'll
thank you, Granger. Speak to you soon. Same with you, and stay safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many other podcast platforms so you never miss an episode. If you want to support what we do, then share and leave a comment. You can always find us on our website at thevietnamgroup.com/thelotus, as well as our Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and just about everywhere in the world. Just search for The Vietnam Group. We post updates daily and feature the Lotus blog and podcast. Until next time, The Lotus Talks. See you soon. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many other podcast platforms so you never miss an episode. If you want to support what we do, then share and leave a comment. You can always find us on our website at thevietnamgroup.com/thelotus, as well as our Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and just about everywhere in the world. Just search for The Vietnam Group. We post updates daily and feature the Lotus blog and podcast. Until next time, The Lotus Talks. See you soon. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many other podcast platforms so you never miss an episode. If you want to support what we do, then share and leave a comment. You can always find us on our website at thevietnamgroup.com/thelotus, as well as our Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and just about everywhere in the world. Just search for The Vietnam Group. We post updates daily and feature the Lotus blog and podcast. Until next time, The Lotus Talks. See you soon. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many other podcast platforms so you never miss an episode. If you want to support what we do, then share and leave a comment. You can always find us on our website at thevietnamgroup.com/thelotus, as well as our Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and just about everywhere in the world. Just search for The Vietnam Group. We post updates daily and feature the Lotus blog.